Good morning and welcome to Daily Sabbath. We will begin with our processional hymn, which is number 379 in your red hymnal. I invite you to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. Then the rushing breath of life hovered over the waters. Let us breathe together. Let us catch our breaths from the need to make, to do. Let us be conscious of the breath of life. We breathe out what the trees breathe in. We breathe in what the trees breathe out. Together, we breathe each other into life. Blessed is the one within the many. Blessed are the many who make the one. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Komen, and I am very honored to be here today to do the readings, and then I have a message as well. So the first reading is from Matthew 7:12. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. The second reading is from Romans 12. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay evil for evil. Be concerned for what is noble in the sight of all. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And the last is from Immanuel Kant. Act in such a way that you always treat humanity, whether in your own person or in the person of another, never simply as a means, but always at the same time as an end. So I actually titled my homily today, Living Life a Little Like Ellen. How many of you watch the Ellen DeGeneres Show? Okay. You know, how does she end the show every day? Do you remember? What does she say? Yes, be kind to one another. So I'm going to share a couple stories with you. I have some grandbabies. I actually have one coming today, so I'm a little nervous because of that. But when my grandbabies get together and they play and they want a piece of Lego or whatever it is that they're playing with, they have a hard time sharing. They're kids. And I hear them calling out to each other's phrases like, I need that for my bridge, or I need that for my car, or that's for my castle, and it's mine, it's mine. And then the other one will say something like, nuh-uh. I called that piece for my castle or mine, or I had it first, or something like that. And then that pull and tug continues for a while. And the losing one says something like, you're stupid. You're not my friend or my favorite cousin anymore, and I don't like you, with a conclusion that usually ends in tears with one or more of them, and then running off to tell another adult. This was also part of my own youth. I had two brothers and sister, and I was in the middle. We fought too, and sometimes even physically, getting all tangled up. We also did not spare verbal remarks to each other, just like my grandbabies. We were at times, as a group of siblings, a far cry from the meaning, and everything do to others as you would have them do to you. So fast forward to us all as grown-ups now. We may not physically or verbally fight with others, but we may unknowingly violate another person's dignity because we do not recognize how vulnerable humans are to being treated as if they don't matter. I bet each one of you can think of a time when someone treated you badly. Someone said something or acted in such a way that violated your own dignity. Why don't you just think about that for a minute? Think of a time. For a moment, not a minute. In education, we call this wait time, and I don't have a lot of wait time, so I'm going to move along. But the work of Donna Hicks on dignity is really powerful and very simple. What I will do now for the rest of my remarks is really draw from her work about dignity and what happens in the violation of dignity. It takes effort to learn how to honor the dignity of others. A good relationship feels great, but one in which both parties recognize and acknowledge each other's value and worth is even better. The dignity model is quite easy. Demonstrate the care and attention for yourself and others that anything of value deserves. We learn how to honor it every day in our everyday interactions with loved ones as well as with strangers. How to maintain our own dignity by fighting the internal and opposing forces that tempt us to act badly, and to resolve those conflicts and reconcile with people. Recognizing their inherent worth. This is not so different than what Matthew said, "In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you," or what Paul said in Romans, "Live in harmony with each other," and with Immanuel Kant said as well. Treating people badly because they have done something wrong only perpetuates that cycle of indignity. Others' bad behavior doesn't give us license to treat them badly in return. Their inherent value and worth need to be honored as well. Being treated well triggers the limbic system in our bodies to release those pleasant feelings of being seen, recognized, and valued. We feel connected to each other. However, just like my grandbabies and their scrimmages and my brothers and sister, we unfortunately have the capacity for hurting and harming each other as well as loving one another. Our ability to inflict psychological injuries upon one another in the form of dignity violations is hardwired in us. This can happen here at Gustavus or in any place where we're interacting with people. When we suffer the wounds of feeling humiliated or diminished, our overreactive and defensive response can have serious consequences. We become very self-protective. We may strike out and belittle and criticize people. Those wounds that we may inflict do not spontaneously go away. They often leave crippling marks, and unless some attention is paid to those injuries in terms of healing, they can linger for a long time. We often have a hard time seeing how we set into motion the destructive power of indignity. What we need to do is hold up a mirror and take an honest look at ourselves and our behaviors and self-reflect. We already have inherent dignity, each one of us. We just need to learn sometimes how to act like we and acknowledge it. So how do we establish a culture of dignity? Donna Hicks has 4 very easy steps. For one, we just have to be mindful of how easy it is to inflict painful wounds on others' dignity. When we are treated badly, we get angry, feel humiliated, we might withdraw, and then we might want to get even. So keep in mind that violations to our dignity may result in anger. If we are hardwired to hurt one another in the service of self-protection, it is also our responsibility to know and control our reactions. And point number 4, we can use the language of dignity to talk about psychological, painful, humiliating, or demeaning experiences. In fact, dignity and the violation of dignity give us a way to talk about a lot of the difficulties that we have had in terms of interactions with one another. Dignity transcends race, gender, ethnicity, and all the other social distinctions. We do not deliberately hurt each other, just like my grandbabies didn't, and myself as a sibling. But we are often, again, unaware of the ways we routinely and subtly violate each other's dignity. At the same time, we are not usually fully aware of the power we have to make people feel good and recognize their worth. So my question for all of you is, if you and I were to say that we conducted ourselves with dignity, what would that look like? What would our behaviors be? To live in harmony with each other, we have to learn how to honor each other's dignity and recognize when we are violating it. Now let's get back to Ellen. As I noted, and so did some of you here, she ends her show with that simple phrase, "Be kind to one another." That's the message. It's as simple as that.
I invite you now to stand as we continue our service by singing hymn number 836, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore. Let us pray. We join with the earth and with each other to bring new life to the land, to recreate the human community, to provide justice and peace, to remember our children, to remember who we are. We join together as many and diverse expressions of one loving mystery for the healing of the earth and the renewal of all life. Amen. As we close, I invite you, if you can, to stay for our postlude by Little Quartet on the Prairie. And I also invite you to come back tomorrow when Elia Vajid will be our speaker. She is the multi-faith advisor in the chaplain's office. And she will be speaking about a Muslim perspective on relating to people of other faith traditions. So I invite you to come back tomorrow for that. Please be seated if you have the time. And thank you for coming.